He's about 30 years old now. I play chess with him. He can't move the chess pieces. Mark might get a kick out of this. He has a little drum set. But he points to the piece that he wants you to move that's going to annihilate you. And then he gets a little smirk on his face. And I'm so happy, and I really try hard to beat him. I'm so happy that I can bring a little joy into his life. He's developed bed sores. He can't sit at the table no more. I have to play chess with him on the floor. And he's going downhill. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this morning. I thought I had, I live in a retirement community in Florida, quite large community. I thought I retired. You never retire from the ministry. It's amazing all the people that live in this community and the people, we have a Bible study. In fact, we've outgrown the room we're in and they just gave us a bigger room.
Wow.
The people that come that have no idea what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were church people that have gone to church their whole lives. And they don't have a clue. Amazing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you can certainly, without me saying much more, you can certainly see the results of this in our country. I mean, we're experiencing things that are unbelievable. It's a common occurrence now to turn the TV on, and some of the kids, they don't know the difference because they've been brought up with it, but to see people shooting people, kids going into school shooting kids, unbelievable. Pastor Chuck, 30 years ago, more than that, I think he wrote that book about 40 years ago, The Death of a Nation. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read that book?
I haven't read that.
If I had that book here and read it, you'd think I was talking about today, on today's news. In the retirement communities, there's a skit. Of course, people are older. Okay? It's called Death Row. And it's a real simple skit to do. It's a lot of fun. You only need two people. You need one guy in an orange suit. He's in prison and just makes some bars out of some wooden doweling or something. And he's sitting behind the bars. And another guy walks in with a suit and tie and a Bible. And it starts out, the guy in the orange suit says, "Did my mother send you here? I don't want no pastor. Get out of here." If you know God, get me out of here. Well, the man in the orange suit, his execution had been stayed so he wouldn't be put to death. But now he had come up again. He only has 12 hours to live. And they're going to electrocute him. So the guy in the orange suit says to him, "The only difference between you and me is you know you're going to die in 12 hours, but I'm in my 70s. I haven't got long in this world either. So we both sit on death row. Now all of a sudden, because all these people are senior citizens, right? We all sit on death row and like, what? Because they think they're invincible. The retirement community I live in, they offer so many wonderful things to do, fun things, that they forget about dying. And when the hearse comes into this community, it comes in at night. Death isn't really talked about. Fun's talked about. Couple of golf courses there, everything to do, swimming pools, all that. So the conversation goes on, and the guy in the suit, they get into a conversation, and he keeps talking to the man about the Lord. And the guy finally breaks. He confesses that he killed his wife. First time in his whole life, he confessed what he did. And the guy in the suit asked him, well, what would you do different? He said, well, I tell children not to do things like I did. It's no fun in here. This is an awful, awful place to come to. So it goes on, and you can ad lib the words. The guy in the suit prays with him. He asked the Lord into his heart. He asked to be forgiven. And so on the way out, the guy in the suit says to him, by the way, I can tell you your execution has been sustained. He says, how do you know that? He says, I'm the governor. That the governor would take the time before he executed anybody to come and share the Lord with him. Sickness and death. How many of you here have experienced, I know the guy in the back, well, if you're picking up logs, your feet are gonna hurt. Mm. How many of you have experienced sickness, death? Have you been with anybody that's died? Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched somebody die?
Yeah.
Have you had sickness in your life and you don't get better right away? There's a story in the Bible about a family that shows us how to handle some of these things. It's a familiar story. In John chapter 10, there's a story of two girls and a guy. It's a short story, and it's the first mention. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Everybody familiar with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, mm-hmm. or not?
Yeah. Nope.
It's in John chapter 10. I'll just read those verses to you. It's in Luke chapter 10, forgive me. And one of the reasons I'm going to Luke chapter 10, the one girl said that she's not in her Bible as much. Well, I'll give you some encouragement this morning about being in your Bible, okay? This story is about two sisters and a brother. And anytime you read first mention in the Bible, it gives you some things that are hid that you'll see the results of understanding first mention to begin with. Okay, in verse 38, 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received unto him her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, to come and help me. And the Lord says something interesting in verse 41. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about with much, many things, but the thing needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is going to show up and where we're going. Two sisters, different personalities. One sister, busy servant. The one that's in the kitchen, making for the potluck. The one that's running here, running there, she was cumbered with much serving. And we can get cumbered in this life with too much, trying to do too much. A good, a real good thing to learn is the word no.
Yeah.
No. See if the Lord really wants you to do something before you start doing it. Because if you, I've learned these lessons. I said yes, 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 yes. And then after I get in the midst of it, I'm thinking, what did I say yes for? I don't want to do this. And I wasn't doing it with the right heart anyways. Everybody following me, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can learn to say no. If it's not the Lord for you, say no. Or I'll pray about it. Just don't say yes to everything. So as you go further with this, there's a great story in John chapter 11 about a family, this family. Turn to John chapter 11. Everybody there? John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now we already know, because of the previous thing we just read, that Jesus was friends with this family. He had found a family that believed in what he was doing, and they opened their hearts to him, and they opened their home to him. So he, these people were his friends. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord and the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Note that they didn't say the one who loves you is sick. Our love is kind of fickle, up and down. The one whom you love is sick. It's interesting too here. This is real interesting. They didn't tell the Lord what to do. How to heal the person.
Mm-hmm.
What to do with the person. I'm good at instructing God on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You ever start instructing God on what to do? The one whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. So God can be glorified in sickness.
Mm.
It's interesting, isn't it? God can be glorified in sickness. There's a, turn back. Do you guys write notes in your Bibles?
Mm-hmm.
Put a little reference, turn back to John chapter 9, in verses 1 through 3. And this is a familiar teaching. There's another guy that's having trouble. He's blind from birth. So he was born blind. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And that's a picture of all of us. Because of the fall, we're all born blind. Until you're born again, you can't see. You're completely blind. You'll never understand anything spiritual because your spiritual life is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a picture of all of us, but this is a picture of man who physically was born blind, and no one could make him see. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. So he's born blind. Blind from his birth. Born into this world blind. Couldn't see. I mean, we could talk about that for a long time, but when you can't see, there's a lot of things you miss out on that you don't understand. I love the new phones. Take pictures, send a picture, saves you 1,000 words, doesn't it? He had no pictures. No immediate seeing what we're talking about. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Who's the sinner that he's born blind? Notice here that the disciples don't care about the man. They just want to know who sinned. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The A-team, right? Yeah. Who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus said something pretty interesting. Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Why would the disciples think that him or his parents sinned? Well, they believed in reincarnation. Does everybody understand what reincarnation is? And this might make you understand why the Pharisees were like the Pharisees were, because they believed in a previous life that they earned to be wealthy and healthy on earth. And somebody that was sick and poor did something in a previous life to deserve to be poor and sick. So it gives you a little understanding. And even Jesus, and you could follow this. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say I am?" "Oh, you're Elijah or one of the prophets." They thought that he'd come back from another life. So they believed in reincarnation, which it doesn't hold any water. Because if you think of, remember when he took the disciples up on the mountain, on the Mountain of Transfiguration, mm-hmm. and he saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus transfigured before him, you could see them as they were in the next life. So reincarnation doesn't, it's not, it was just what they thought. It was not true. Reincarnation is not true at all. So this sickness was for the glory of God. God's going to do something. So let's go back to John chapter 11. So we read in verse 3, "Therefore the sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold whom thou lovest the sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Well, you have to think about, they didn't have cell phones. They sent a messenger to Jesus. He was about four to five miles away. So they sent a messenger, and the messenger was probably standing there when the Lord told the disciples that this sickness wasn't unto death. And so the messenger obviously came back and told Mary and Martha that this sickness isn't unto death. It's for the glory of God. But Jesus does something real interesting. Look at verse 5. "And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So let's look at that. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So a done deal. He loves us. Mm-hmm. He loves you. Mm-hmm. But now there's something real interesting. Verse 6, "And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days until in the same place where he was." So they sent to Jesus, They said, the one whom you love is sick. This is their prayer. You think Jesus would have maybe made a marathon to get over to his friend? And it says he stayed. He didn't come. Did you ever say a prayer? Something's wrong. It might not be sickness. Something's really going wrong in your life. Something's going haywire. And it gets worse. And what's Satan do? God doesn't love you. Gee, I go to church. Lord, I tell you, I ask you into my heart. And he doesn't come. How many of you felt that way? I don't know about you guys, I feel that way a lot of times. Things are going not like it's supposed to. I'm reading out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what the Bible says. Verse 7. And after that he said, he to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee there. Thou goest there again? And Jesus answered, there are not 12 hours in a day, and any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night and stumble, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that say he unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking his rest. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. I thought he said that this up here in verse 4, Jesus heard that he was sick, and is not this unto death, but unto the glory of God. So now Lazarus dies. And you can imagine Mary and Martha, they must have been coming out to look to see if Jesus was coming, if Jesus was coming, because he loved them. They sent messages to him, and they're watching their brother go downhill. So he tells them in verse 14 that he's dead. And I am glad, this is what the Lord said. And we'll come back to this verse. There's some key things going on here you might have never heard of before. In verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. You might want to outline that if you're an underliner. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So Jesus was glad that he wasn't there. But nevertheless, let us go to him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. They had just come out of a place where they tried to stone the Lord to death, and it doesn't give us a lot of detail, but that's a funny thing, too. When you stop and think about it, how can you kill God? You can't kill God. It's impossible. Even on the cross, he gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He would have hung there forever. Can't kill God. Impossible. So now he's leading the disciples. Something so drastic must have happened where they tried to stone him to death, and the Bible doesn't talk about it, that the disciples remembered what took place. They were with the Lord, and of course, now they're in a different situation with the Lord, and the Lord wants to go back there, and they don't want to go. Did the Lord ever put a path in your life you don't want to go down? He has in mind. I'm talking to a buddy now. I spent the other night with him. He has prostate cancer. He's full of cancer. And they got to get that out of him. And his question was, do I take the chemo or the radiation first, or do I let him do the operation first?
Mm.
And he's full of questions, and he's a Christian man, and he's has some, a lot of doubt on what to do. And he's asking me questions. And the Lord's leading him down a path. He has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go down this path.
Yeah.
And he has some options along the way. So Thomas says, let us go with him that we may die with him. So Thomas usually gets a real bad rap, right? But Thomas actually thinks they're going to die with him. Thomas didn't understand either. You're not going to die when you're walking with the Lord and you're doing his will. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days. So now 2 more days have passed. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So Debbie doesn't like it when I say, you can say it 2 ways. You know, you can change meanings of things with just your voice. And everybody that's married in here, you don't even have to say anything. Just your reaction in a home tells your spouse what you're thinking. So you can say this. Mary said unto the Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Or you could say this, Lord, if you would have been here, I know my brother wouldn't have died. I'm not going to stand on either one of these. I'm going to show you something a little different, which I think took place. Verse 22, but I know, now this is Martha speaking again, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. So here's some faith coming out of Martha. You know, whatever you ask God, I know he's going to give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And if you're a believer, you will rise again. Okay? That's why we ask Jesus into our hearts, and he paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. In the resurrection of the last day, they usually read it at funerals, you know, the bodies will rise, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You've heard it at funerals. all the bodies that have been in the graves, this is when the spirit and the soul will be joined to the body for eternity. And am I losing everybody or not?
No.
Okay. So in the last days, she's saying, I acknowledge in the last day, when you come back, when the trumpet blows, the believer goes to, we go to get rewarded, okay, at the Bema seat. And we come back with the Lord. Our spirit and soul come back with the Lord, because absent from the body is present with the Lord, and we get our new body at that time. So she acknowledges that in the last days is what she's saying. And Jesus says something very interesting. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. And what I believe happened, Martha, when she heard, because of her personality, she was the kind of, she was like Peter. John and Peter ran to the tomb, and John out, who was it? John outran Peter, but Peter, when he gets to the tomb, he just pushes everything out of the way and goes in, and John didn't. Two different personalities, mm-hmm. And Martha's kind of like that. So when she heard Jesus came, she ran out to meet him without even thinking of her sister that was home. Now she's stumped. First she reproved her sister. Lord, I'm busy serving, and don't you see my sister? Tell her to get up and help me. So she's reproving her sister, coming down on her. Now the Lord tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. She doesn't comprehend what he's saying. So she runs back. Now she's going to honor her sister. She runs back to get her sister, because her sister would have understood. Because she sat at the feet of Jesus, learning his word. It gives you understanding. How can you understand things unless you start to connect the dots? And it takes a while. Being saved only takes a minute, okay? God touches your heart, and you usually hear a preacher or somebody, and you say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Being a disciple takes a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Learning about the Lord and understanding things, mm-hmm. and making things life to you. So she runs back, because look at this next verse. So the Lord tells her he's the resurrection and the life, and whosoever believeth in him shall never die. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, and should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, because the Jews were in the house already mourning to comfort her sister. And so she told him secretly, because she knew a lot of the Jews were against Jesus. They weren't for Jesus. Okay? And saying, the master has come and called for thee. The master didn't call for her. She ran out to get Mary because she didn't understand what the master was talking about. When he said, I am the resurrection and life, she didn't get it. Okay? As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Isn't it interesting that she goes and tells Mary. Mary arises quickly. She's going out to meet the Lord. So she's going out to meet the Lord. And Jesus is going to do the greatest, the delay, the 2 days, then the 4 days, is because when he doesn't answer something in your life right away, he's going to do something greater. Mm-hmm. Something you might not even understand. And it could be for eternal purposes. Mm-hmm. we're going to rule and reign with the Lord, and he's training you to what he wants you to be with him. So she runs out to meet the Lord, and it's interesting that he abode 2 days, now he abode 4 days, and he's going to do the greatest miracle that he's ever done, because Lazarus has started to decay at this point. And Mary runs out to meet him, and the Lord stayed there. When someone wants to talk to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, he's always available. He wasn't in a hurry to go do this, the greatest miracle ever done. He's always available for us to talk to. And prayer is just talking to the Lord, bearing your heart with the Lord, being honest with the Lord. I have a son. One of the reasons I came up here, I have a son that has multiple problems. A couple years ago, he was shot with radiation for a brain tumor. And then they bolted his neck together and bolted his back together. And he's been in a lot of pain the last 6 months, and they don't really know what was wrong with him. Of course, he couldn't get in to see anybody. And he has an opposite story. He went from being very, very wealthy, very, very successful, to very, very broke. He had a lot of fun, had a lot of friends when he had his pockets full of money. Mm. Got maybe one friend now. Mm. One guy that stuck by him. He had a hard time, because he's on disability, he had a hard time even getting to see a doctor. And the surgeon that did the operation told him he couldn't help him. He was okay. And he hurt so bad, he finally got somebody over at Strong to look at him, and they ran tests. And last week he got the results of the test. He's actually been walking around with a broken neck. The fusion in his neck didn't take. They have to unbolt his neck and redo it. It's a multiple surgery from both through your throat and through your back. He also has a ruptured disc in his back and bone spurs growing in his back. That's what I said. Fritz, my son, mm-hmm. for prayer. Mm-hmm. Wyatt, who I told you about. Mm-hmm. Tom Tripp. The Lord has me around recently a lot of people that are really hurting. Mm-hmm. Now Mary, let's see what Mary says. So she's going, the Lord wants to talk to Mary, and so Mary comes to him and looking for what she says to him. In verse 32, and when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That is not the right interpretation. You have to look at the Greek interpretation in this. It's very interesting. There's a play on words here, which you hear what it says. And it's not much of a difference. Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Remember that? Mary says, Lord, if thou had been here, the same thing Martha said, Lord, if thou had been here, but Mary says, had not died my brother. Hmm. Had not died my brother. Why would she say that? She sat at the feet of Jesus and learned the word. When she put oil on him, she was anointing him for his burial. She understood that he came to die. No one could die in the presence of Jesus. "Wow, what are you talking about?" Well, Christ raised the dead before in Mark. It tells us Jairus' daughter, but she only just died. Luke tells us the raising of the widow's son in Nam, but he had just been buried. He had to die before Jesus had to die before the thieves on the cross, because the thieves on the cross would have never died. No one ever died in the presence of Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. Remember the back verse I told you to remember? Back in verse let us go that we may die with him. Then Jesus came and found that he laid him in the grave 4 days in Bethany, and on to Jerusalem, 15 furlong, I forgot where it was now. Oh, and verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. If he would have been there, Lazarus couldn't have died. Am I going too long here?
No, you're good.
Let's, there's lots of information, but let's just go forward to the grave site. Look at verse 44. And it's interesting, too, that Martha tells Mary in secret, and the Jews that were there still followed her to where Jesus was, because Jesus wanted the greatest miracle that he's going to perform on earth for everybody to witness. And we're at the gravesite, and verse 41, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou always hear me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. It's a good thing he said Lazarus, or everybody would have came forth. And he that was dead came forth. He could have, you know, he didn't have to make him roll away the stone either. He could have had Lazarus walk right through the stone. That isn't anything to him. He wants us to be involved in his work. You do your part and God will do his part. And all of you represent, if you're born again and you have Jesus in your heart, you represent the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your own church with your friends and your loved ones that don't know. And he's already ordained you, the Great Commission. Well, I can't. That's a preacher's job to go tell my family. No. It's your job. And, I don't like to speak up in front of people. It's hard. If you open your mouth and ask the Lord to help you, you'll be surprised what will come out of your mouth to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And if you really love them, you will speak up. You don't want your family and loved ones to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care who they are. I can't imagine suffering forever and ever and ever, eternity. So we all been commissioned to speak up. The Great Commission. And if you do have the power in you, see, when you're born again, when you're born, your body, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were a three-part being, just like God the Father, God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three parts of one, like water, steam, and ice, but they're one thing. When in the garden, Adam was spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, because he communed with God, because God is spirit. When the fall took place, his body went on top. Body, soul, spirit on the bottom, dead. When you ask Christ into your heart, into your life, it says that the Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside of you. You've got God living inside of you. And we certainly live, listen to me. Some of us are older, and there's no guarantee on if you're going to live a long life or a short life. If the Lord doesn't take the church out of here, which most theologians believe we're right at the threshold,
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't rapture the church, and we're not appointed the wrath, he's going to take us out of here. Everybody understands that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the kids that you're going to leave into this world. Look what's happening. I go to church with a guy that's a pastor. He's a teacher, too, in a school, public school. And they have lockdowns in Ocala because the shooters come into school. And he says the kids are underneath the desk crying, scared to death. There's a shooter in the school. You're locked down. You get underneath your desk. This is going on in our world, you guys. Isn't there a cause? Loved ones, family, friends.
Amen.
The cause of Christ. I could go on and on. And one of the things I think what the Lord's been doing in my heart, I went to a birthday party. I think of Paul and Gretchen a lot. They don't know, but I think of them a lot. They're in my prayers a lot. She used to, they were so good with kids. They've always been good with kids. And I remember that song, remember Jump?
Jump into the light.
Yeah, the kids all jump. And then we go to the nursing home, and she'd have the kids jumping in front of all the people that were really sick, you know, and the people would get a smile on their faces. Remember?
Yeah.
And when Jesus went to the tomb, and I think this is what the Lord's been doing in my heart more, because I've been around people, and I went to a birthday party, and it was for my grandson, and he is artistic. Is that the right word, artistic?
Autistic?
Art.
Autistic.
And there was, at Seneca Park Zoo now, they have a room where you can get a room for kids with disabilities, and they give you a room, and then you cater things in, like whatever you want, pizza, cake, whatever. But there's people at the zoo, they bring different things in for the kids to see. And there was two other little boys there. One boy couldn't even come in the room. He was crawling around on the floor in the hallway. And the other little boy came in, and my grandson was in, and there was a little girl. And the families were very dysfunctional that were there. And when you look at what sin has done, you cry. And I think when Jesus was at the gravesite, and he wept, he looked, and Mary and Martha were crying, people were crying, and he entered in, he wept, He was crying. He moaned. He groaned when he saw what devastation sin has done. And as you get older in the Lord, you try so hard not to sin. And I still sin. But I try not to. I really try to walk with the Lord. Even though I'm forgiven, sin destroys your life.
Mm-hmm.
Sin causes you pain and death. The seeds you sow are the seeds you reap. And many churches now say, yes, Jesus is in your heart, you do whatever you want. Well, that's just stupid. Sin causes pain. Sin causes death. Sin causes what we see happening in our country. I love America, greatest nations in the world. I just heard that, and I don't even know if it's true, maybe I shouldn't say it. I heard that the Chinese guy that was buddies with arm in arm with Trump, the negotiating team that they were trying to negotiate Trump and the North Korean guy for more things in our country. He just had this whole team that negotiated with Trump executed. And it shouldn't surprise us. Look at the American kid they sent back. Who knows what they did to him? We stand at a time in America. You need to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read your Bible and to encourage you. Seek ye first. My favorite verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of things in your life when you go after him first. So I'm just here to encourage you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the good work. And don't get discouraged. The sizes of churches don't mean anything. Believe me. I've been in a church in Florida that they bring a van, a big van, every service, because people bring stuff and fill it up every service. But they don't hear what you heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multiple, huge laser lights going and rock music, which I can't hear anymore anyways. That's probably why I talk so loud. And some of the kids like all that stuff. We just live in a time back to basics. In your Bible. I'm sure Paul shares Bible with you. So let's stand, and going to lead us in a song to close, or we'll say a prayer together. Father, we thank you that we have a dad in heaven that has a plan. And nothing surprises you. And you sent your son to pay for all of our sins. And Jesus, how could we ever thank you that you would take our place on the cross, that we could go free? And you sent us your Holy Spirit to work in our lives and our hearts. And I would pray for everyone here. I would pray, Lord, if someone doesn't know you, that they would know you in their heart, that they would want to know you, Lord. And if someone wants to rededicate their life to you, to want to know you more, Lord, to encourage them to read your word, Lord, and to learn of you, Lord, and to fall at your feet. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray for this town of Port Byron. Lord Jesus, we pray that others might come to know you. And the truth would be shared here, Lord. And that you'd open people's hearts and eyes to your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning.
Morning by morning.
New mercies I see. All I've needed.
All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
So everybody got it that Mary knew. She had insight. Her sister went to get her. Okay? She knew that no one could die in the presence of the Lord. She understood because she spent time in the Word. The better part. And he loves Mary and Martha the same.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the blessing.
Nice to meet you.